This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
In Charlotte, North Carolina, police say they're still trying to remove a possibly armed man from inside an auto parts store. They say they believe the suspect is alone inside an Advanced Auto Parts location. Police closing the streets nearby. There are reports the suspect was trying to rob the store just before 8 o'clock this morning. No shots have been fired, though, or injuries reported. Word is President Trump is now bolstering his personal legal team for the upcoming Senate impeachment trial against him. Trump has added Ken Starr, Alan Dershowitz, and Robert Ray to the team that will be headed by White House counsel Pat Cipollone. Starr led the investigation of now former President Bill Clinton, impeached by the House and acquitted by the Senate. Ray was involved in the Clinton investigation as well. And this is USA Radio News.
Hello, this is Wayne Allen Root, relentless conservative warrior, middle-class warrior, and always Trump warrior. I have a message for my fellow patriots across America. President Trump is making America great again. He's the only president of my lifetime who is keeping his promises, and his biggest promise is to build that wall. President Trump can only do it with our help. If Congress won't fund Trump's wall, we will. President Trump is one man against the world, and what globalists and socialists around the world want is clear, open borders. It's time to take a stand. We either build the wall, or it's the end of the greatest nation in world history ever blessed by God. That's why I founded the Root for the Wall PAC. 63 million Trump voters together will raise the money President Trump needs for the wall. Anyone who donates $100 or more will get a beautiful commemorative wall brick. Display it proudly. Call 844-ROOT-WALL. That's toll free, 844-ROOT-WALL. Or go to rootwall.com. We will build this wall together. Call 844-ROOT-WALL or go to rootwall.com. Root for the Wall PAC. Paid for and responsible for the content of this message. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. Rootwall.com.
The CDC now blames vaping for 60 deaths in 27 states. The federal agency saying over 2,600 people have been hospitalized with a lung illness in the past 7 months, and about 83% of those people vaped THC, the psychoactive component in marijuana. The wife of Democratic presidential candidate Andrew Yang says she was sexually assaulted by her doctor during her first pregnancy. Evelyn Yang relaying the story of the 2012 assault in a CNN interview that aired last night. The doctor she accused, Robert Haddon with Columbia University, has been accused by dozens of women of assault. Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei saying the fact that his nation's missiles were able to strike U.S. targets in Iraq a few weeks ago shows that God is on their side. He made the comments during Friday prayers. Find us online anytime. We're at usaradio.com.
Friends and family, did you have a great night's sleep last night? I did. I'm healthier than I've ever been. I work better than I ever have. And you know what? You can have that health. You can have that good night's sleep if you order a MyPillow. Try it. Mike Lindell guarantees it. He's got a 60-day money-back guarantee on the MyPillow and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener special. Use my promo code USA or call 1-800-951-8175.
More now on the impeachment of President Donald Trump in the U.S. Senate, a trial that will begin on Tuesday. It has some Democratic presidential candidates who are also U.S. senators having to leave the campaign trail to be part of it. One of them is Senator Amy Klobuchar, asked here about the debate over whether there will be witnesses at the trial.
Every trial we've had in history has had witnesses. I mean, you cannot have a trial without witnesses. And right now we're just asking for four witnesses who have unique information about the president holding back aid to a foreign country.
Senator Klobuchar was speaking on CBS this morning. Housing starts across the U.S. Well, according to the federal government, they've surged to a 13-year high. Residential starts rose nearly 17% in December to 1.6 million. New home construction for 2019 rose 3.2%. Permits rose 3.9%. Single-family housing starts rose in the South and Midwest, but fell in the West and North northeast. And today is Ditch New Year's Resolutions Day, January 17th, popularly thought to be the day a lot of people give up on their New Year's resolutions, though some studies suggest today might be a little early. Researchers at the University of Scranton in Pennsylvania finding fewer than half the people who make New Year's resolutions keep them for 6 months. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
This is Dan Perkins for your songs and stories for soldiers, veterans, tip of the day. Did you know that about 1 in 10 veterans are homeless in the United States? For the third year in a row, Songs and Stories for Soldiers has sponsored the Santa Bell Shoes and Socks for Homeless Veterans program. In 2019, the people of Southwest Florida donated to the Bay Pines VA Healthcare District 550 pairs of shoes and over 1,200 pairs of socks for homeless veterans. So here's your veterans tip of the day. This summer, set up a group of people to collect shoes and socks for homeless veterans in your community between Thanksgiving and Christmas 2020. Sit down and have a conversation with the Voluntary Services Director at your local VA hospital and telling him what you're going to do. If you have any questions, have them contact their counterpart at the Bay Pines Healthcare System. You may find that someday you may be recipient of shoes and socks for homeless veterans. This is Dan Perkins with your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going
on. You know, it's been a while, but I need to give you your word for the day, okay? Apothegm. A-P-O-T-H-E-G-M. Apothegm. It's a short, witty, instructive saying. You know, some of the things that we try to do. Maybe even a terse or brusque instruction that Nancy Pelosi will share with us at times. But apothegm, that's the word for the day. In a sentence, my grandmother loved to give advice with an apothegm, such as an apple a day keeps the doctor away. So you got it, all right? So you can go around and use that many times today. Apothegm. And people go, wow, where did you get that? And you go, hey, Bill Martinez, man. We listen to Bill. He enlarges our thinking and expands our word usage. Charles Davis, that's the correct name. Charles Davies is with us. He's an author. He's African-British. He has a master's in media from Thames Valley University in the UK, which is now the University of West London. He started his career in journalism over 25 years ago in, of all places, Freetown, Sierra Leone, West Africa. He's edited newspaper and magazines, including Africa Analysis and New Africa Analysis in the UK. And his new book is titled Getting Trump, How the Media is Hurting Itself, Chasing the Donald. Charles, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill.
Well, I appreciate your journalistic background. I mean, somebody who's been in the business for over 25 years, there's a loyalty to the professional standards of journalism that seems to have been abandoned, I'd say, a lot in the last decade. Do you agree?
I do agree, Bill. I do agree. And in fact, that's the reason for the book, actually, because, you know, it's, you know, the way... when I look at you look at what's been happening in America there particularly, and the way this particular government, Donald Trump's Republican government, has been treated, I mean, it's just awful. It's just gone really off rails, and I think someone needs to call that out, and that's the reason for the book, actually.
Yeah. Well, the fact of the matter is when journalism is out of balance, it hurts everybody. No question, Donald Trump has an upper hand. He's driving everybody nuts because he's controlling the headlines. He's a powerful force. But if the media was forthright and had some integrity, they could push back in an appropriate sort of manner. But when, you know, in the media here in the United States, Charles, as you noted, 95% of the reporting on Donald Trump is purposefully negative. Well, that's hurtful all the way around. I mean, because what's happened is it's kind of like being a police officer when, here in the United States, when they pull you over to give you a ticket. you know, they're in a position of authority. They stand in that authority, and everything that that badge represents, and what they've been sworn to serve and to protect local communities. When they get in a debate with somebody over whether or not they deserve the ticket, they lose a little bit of that authority because they get out of their lane. And it's kind of like what journalism has done. When it decides to be purposeful and to lose objectivity, then they compromise their position of authority and really that needed position in a community. I mean, this is why for us, you know, the First Amendment was to ensure a free press. Our founding fathers understood how important that is. And around the world in other countries, and as you've experienced, more countries than I have, certainly, you know what happens when the press is free and when it's not.
Well, that's exactly the point, because, you know, the press have a role to be fair and to be balanced, to be objective. Yes. And when they lose that, you know, and as you said, go purposefully negative, and I think that hurts the media. And that's what we're saying in the book. Because in the long run, people are really going to be tired of the press and may ask for something else. Like what happened in the UK here before, even though that in the end it didn't happen because of the government we got here. But there was a judge-led inquiry here, Justice Leveson. Led an inquiry into the press's actions here. And what, in the end, he recommended was that the press should be regulated properly. And and that is the fear, because for us who, like, for those of us who've been in the media for so long and love the press, I mean, you want a free press. You want, you know, a press that's fair and balanced, that is doing the job. And to go back to the Donald Trump issue, I mean, if there have been fear with him, I think it will have redressed the balance that we've got now. Because if you're fear to someone who you think is hurting you, the public will see it, but the public, I think, in America is not seeing it right now. As you can see the way the opinion polls are going. Even with this impeachment inquiry, impeachment, not inquiry anymore, it's impeachment. I mean, it's almost they're just doing the bidding of the Democratic Party. They're not questioning the Democratic Party. They're just going along. You know, whatever talking point is out today from the Democratic Party, that's what the media goes on with. They don't question them at all, and that's upending a lot of really serious things that outstanding things that been that's held the country together. And I think that's not good. For the
Charles, to your point, sometimes I don't know where the Democratic Party begins and where the media ends. They're so hand in glove that, you know, when the talking points come up, I mean, you hear the media talk about it, and then within minutes, you hear the Democrats lockstep echoing what the media has just reported. And sometimes it happens in an opposite sort of manner, where it will be the Democrats who kick off the talking points, and then the media picks it up verbatim. Well, then, you know, the people here in America are smart enough, and, you know, you mentioned the polls and that. You know, the polls have lost a lot of credibility because it was the same polls that said that Hillary Clinton was going to beat Donald Trump for the White House. It was a million to one. There was just no, it was totally futile for Donald Trump. There was no way that he was going to win. And so what happened, you know, they provided a grave disservice to the body politic, because when the news came that Donald Trump was elected, the people were in shock. Because they just could not believe that Donald Trump was truly the president of the United States. There had to be something wrong. So then, you know, okay, let's make stuff. Oh, it had to be the Russians. It's Putin. Putin had to do it. It's like,
Well, this is the point. I mean, you cannot. I mean, there's not much difference between the Democratic Party and the media right now. The mainstream media there. That's for sure. You know, they speak the same language. They do things in lockstep, and I think it is a problem. It is a problem for their credibility. And you know, Donald Trump might win, and I think he will win the next election because of all the things that's happening. And then for after 5 years from now, he'll be off the scene. But this stain on the media in what they're doing now will remain, and people will be doubtful of their actions for a long time. And I think that's the problem for the media, that they have, this is a situation they have to address. I don't know whether they'll be able to do it, because it seems as if they've gone too far to turn back, you know, and we are stuck where we are now, and I don't see a way out, you know.
Well, you're right. They should be paying a consequence. All these talking heads and people who've lied to the public, they should, you know, they should, they've lost their credibility, and they should pay a price for that. And we'll see how that plays out. We've got to go to break. We've got more from Charles Davies after this and his new book, Getting Trump, How the Media is Hurting Itself, Chasing the Donald.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
Every single day, promoting truth. Bill Martinez, live.
You are the air I breathe. You are the song I bleed. You are the one.
Independent, we are 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Great to have you along with us. And for those stations that are listening to us over the weekend, we're grateful to Radio America. Some 60 radio stations carry parts of our Friday show, and they air it at their convenience on Saturday and Sunday over the weekend. We welcome you to Bill Martinez Live as well. Donald Trump, no doubt, is a phenomenon, and his gift to we the people, and I would say even his gift to the media has been stellar. I mean, the media, I mean, it's a double-edged sword for them. On one hand, as much as they hate Orange Man, or seem to anyway, they know that he is a ratings juggernaut, whether it was in reality shows before with The Apprentice and other successful businesses. Even when he was in New York, I mean, he was the celeb du jour, you know, and you name it. Every TV, radio show was wanting to talk to the Donald. And now even more so that he's president of the United States and he has this incredible following that he talks to on a daily basis. So much so, Charles Davis, that he doesn't even have to have a press conference anymore, because every day he has a press conference. You know, he's talking to the media. But the media is upset because they don't get to, you know, they don't get to showboat. You know, they don't get their moments of fame on TV and go for a gotcha moment. And, you know, people now have forgotten who Jim Acosta was and all the annoying things that he would do at the press conferences. And I think we're grateful for that. But all that to say is that the media cannot help itself. It has to report on Donald Trump because he is such a force. People are so interested in what, and of course, now that he is president, you know, what he is saying. And, boy, with Twitter and that, it's no holds barred. You know exactly what he's saying and even sometimes what he's thinking.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's his own filter, isn't it? With his followers. And they, over 70 million of them in the different platforms.
It's
such a powerful figure, really. And I think America is lucky to have him, to be honest. I don't know why this negativity too much about him, you know, because he is someone I think should be admired in the sense that, you know, he's one that delivers. He says things that he's going to do. You know, normally politicians say things and then when it comes to it, they don't do it. You know, he says he's going to build a wall. He's doing it. Over 100 miles, I understand, is gone now. And they will do a lot more in the year. You know, he said, he's going to build the economy. You know, I mean, the economy is top notch right now in the world.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
He does the things he says he's going to do, and that's what you want in a politician. That's what we've not seen for a long time, and I think it should be celebrated. But I don't know this animals that, you know, that's surrounding him. And, you know, whether they're playing for the ratings, I think it's more than that, quite frankly. I think it's just they don't want him there. I think the establishment doesn't want him there.
That too, because it threatens their way of life. I mean, they've been working on decades to bring America into a socialistic trajectory, and they want socialism here, and that's loud and clear. Well, Donald Trump comes in and says, how about first principles? And first principles means the United States Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. Well, that is antithetical to everything that they would want us to go on. So you're exactly right. To your earlier point, Charles, you know, and I was thinking about this the other day, a lot of the countries are extremely envious of the United States economy and leadership and that, although the mainstream media is not to report on that. But I think it's quite interesting. I keep thinking, you know, what if the UK offered some sort of trade so that they could get President Donald Trump to lead them? Or if, you know, Korea maybe, or, you know, Iran even. You know, I know I'm being a bit silly here, but the fact of the matter is that because of, you know, his understanding for the common man and justice for all, boy, and you know, the economy that would touch all sectors, not just people of color or no color or whatever it is.
Exactly.
I mean, he is for the people at large. It's like, you tell me what citizen of the world would not want that kind of leader leading them.
Well, exactly. And for myself, I mean, in the UK, I'm from Africa. You want to go and see what's happening there in some countries in Africa. I tell you, they want Donald Trump there. Because people want action, they want things done, you know. And he's doing just that. If he's, you know, if your leader says we're going to, I'm going to develop my people, because that's what, exactly what he's saying. Yeah, he says America first. He's not saying other countries should not do well. He's just saying me for myself and my country, we are first. We're going to put ourselves first this time. Because, you know, we're not going to be looking at others all the time. I think every country will want that sort of leader that will look at the country and deal with them first and do things, you know. So, you know, I don't know whether we've got our own Donald Trump here with Boris Johnson, but I hope they both can work well and do, you know, what is right. Because even right now what's happening with Iran, I think Boris Johnson is backing Donald Trump with Iran.
Exactly.
Right, and so his support there is getting stronger. And Iran, as he says, he will bring Iran. This is the thing. There's people that they're saying, the media is going around saying he hasn't got a plan for Iran. But he's said it all along. Iran should not have a nuclear weapon.
Right.
And that's what he is doing. He's doing the economic sanctions and, you know, this show of force there.
Mm-hmm.
They're bringing Iran slowly to the table. And we will say this. We will talk about this later on. Maybe in a few months' time that Iran will be dragged, kicking and screaming to the table with what's happening now. They will negotiate with Trump and he will have a new agreement, just as Boris Johnson suggested. They should have a Trump agreement there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and to your point, Donald Trump is emboldening the Boris Johnsons, Macron, and Canada and these other allies, because they're going, whoa, this is leadership. He's bold. He believes in it. Okay, hey, you believe in it? You know, I can support you and get behind you in that. And, of course, America is leading the way. And, you know, for no nuclear weaponry for Iran, and the rest of the Middle East is celebrating that possibility as well. Because, I mean, Barack Obama told everybody, oh, this was going to, you know, keep Iran from going nuclear. Well, what are you talking about? If that was the case, why did you have a sunset clause employed in the JPOA? Yeah.
I think all Barack Obama was doing was saving the issue for another president to solve it. I think he had not the gumption to solve the issue. So it's, for him, it's just let's pack it. Let's give them some money to settle them down, and then the next president will solve it. Well, Donald Trump is solving it.
Exactly.
He's doing it now. It's hard, but he's doing it. And it's sad that I can't believe that in this day and age, the media and the Democratic Party will support Iran and its leaders, you know, in terms of what Trump is doing there, particularly with the death of Qasem Soleimani. How can Americans really support someone like that? Because that's what they're doing.
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, and you bring up a good point here again, as you look at who the Democrats are offering as a presidential candidate, who on that stage, who is left standing, has the vision and the courage to lead the world and to take on the Iranians?
I don't think we have seen that now in the I mean, even amongst themselves, that is why Bloomberg has come into the mix there, because he's saying there's no one there who will beat Trump. So there's no one there right now to be there, and that's why they are pushing with impeachment. I think we're outside, we're looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really sad. Because Americans could be doing a lot of stuff right now. Instead, Trump is doing much. I mean,
No, he's continuing to move on. Well, we got to leave it there. I look forward to having you back with us, Charles Davies. His book, Getting Trump, available at all the usual places. It'll be linked on our website as well. Thank you, Charles.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. Ouch! Well, by wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers. Here's what our customers had to say.
Painless. No more pricking my finger.
No finger pricks.
Convenience. They delivered it free and they took care of all the paperwork.
If you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, a CGM can help you. It's accurate, easy to use, and if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Plus, get free shipping of your new CGM, and we can bill Medicare for you.
Honestly, I had my doubts, but that new CGM is painless.
Call now. 800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. That's 800-471-7065.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
In Charlotte, North Carolina, police say they're still trying to remove a possibly armed man from inside an auto parts store. They say they believe the suspect is alone inside an Advanced Auto Parts location. Police closing the streets nearby. There are reports the suspect was trying to rob the store just before 8 o'clock this morning. No shots have been fired, though, or injuries reported. Word is President Trump is now bolstering his personal legal team for the upcoming Senate impeachment trial against him. Trump has added Ken Starr, Alan Dershowitz, and Robert Ray to the team that will be headed by White House counsel Pat Cipollone. Starr led the investigation of now former President Bill Clinton, impeached by the House and acquitted by the Senate. Ray was involved in the Clinton investigation as well. And this is USA Radio News.
Does your business spend $500 a month or more on gas and electric bills? Did you know by making a simple free phone call, you can save up to 25% on your bill every month? What could you do with a 25% savings on utility bills every month? Energy deregulation is now available in your state. Making one simple phone call will show you how we can lower your gas and electric bills instantly, with no changes to your bill and no enrollment fee. This is a free service. The only thing you'll notice is a lower bill every month. Call U.S. Power and Light right now. Learn how easy it is to lower your utility bills for your business and save money. We promise. So if you spend over $500 a month on your gas and electric bills, please call right now and unleash your savings.
800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. That's 800-941-3381.
You didn't think they'd get away with it, did you?
Thanks to Charles Davies one more time for coming on the show to talk about his new book, Getting Trump, How the Media is Hurting Itself, Chasing the Donald. And the thing is about the media, again, understanding our First Amendment right, if the media is hurting itself, it hurts us because we need a healthy media in play here. Sadly, for whatever reason, until they get to that point to reinvent themselves more in line with the U.S. Constitution, we're going to have to deal through this. And it really is going to demand that we as consumers of the media, that we engage in critical thinking, that we ask those questions that they themselves are not asking. Because this is what we're commanded to do as a government of, for, and by we the people. Our next guest says, as far-reaching as the cloud has already become, we are at the end of the beginning, not the beginning of the end, of what the digital masons are building. We're going to talk about digital cathedrals with Mark Mills here in just a moment, but a little background. With today's global cloud is society's first foundationally new infrastructure in nearly a century. And we're talking a lot about infrastructure. And though Congress may be a bit distracted, and there may be lots of questions of the government doing it, there's a certain amount of natural inertia that is taking place here. And I think that's a good thing. because we are a rather industrial and productive type of people. We will not wait on the government. We will act, and then the government is reacting because that's what they do. The government doesn't create anything. They regulate, and sometimes they get in the way, as Ronald Reagan would say. But arguably, they are not the ones on the cutting edge to lead us into this infrastructure demand that is coming upon our country. Mark, I want to bring you on right now. Welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me. Looking forward to it.
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, let's talk about the industriousness of the American people and that a free and liberated country delivers. I mean, there is a tremendous amount of potential and power in that whole concept.
Oh, no, there's no question. I mean, you put your finger on it. The kinds of long economic booms that we have talked about and seen in history for the last, you know, 2.5 centuries in America have fundamentally been driven by two things, right? We have a great system, despite our challenges.
Right.
We have a great system that allows entrepreneurs to function, businesses to grow, until governments, you know, weigh in and constrain it.
Right.
But that the growth comes from new technologies, from innovators. And the newest new technology, everyone knows this, is the what's called the cloud. It's the information infrastructure. It was invented here, not somewhere else. And the transformations that are underway that we're worried about, you know, social media, digital disruptions, and e-commerce. What I've written about and what I think all engineers and scientists know and what investors know is that's just, in effect, the beginning. That's why I said it's sort of, as you read, it's the end of the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
That's roughly 10 or 15% of our economy is tied up in entertainment, news, movies, moving digital stuff around, finance. Those are the digital things. They're easy to digitally disrupt. The rest of the economy, making stuff, moving stuff, right, controlling systems, that's where 80% of our economy lies, and it's not digitalized yet. It's not been improved, not the kind of productivity boom that we want to see happen again. It's starting. It's starting now because of the kinds of changes that are going on. And you know, maybe the tip of the iceberg, which is not happening as fast as people have claimed, things like autonomous cars, self-driving cars, they'll come someday. The point of that is that it's the technologies that make those kinds of things possible are already happening
exactly
invisibly in the industrial sector.
Yeah, this is an exciting period of time, is it not? I mean, this is like the new frontier all over again.
It is.
Because we have to go through, I mean, we're going to go through some natural progressions just like they did in the first frontier.
Sure. Well, this is as I tell students, this is like living in 1920, when the automobile age really began. I mean, automobiles have been around for 30 years at that point. But in the 1920s, that's when cars became practical, useful. And it's not so much that, you know, cars were practical and useful. We had an auto industry. It's what personal mobility unleashed for the economy. This massive 20th century economic growth started then. That's where we are now with the digital growth that's possible in impacting all parts of the economy. Yeah, it's disruptive. It's, you know, a little scary for some people, but it's frankly, it's fundamentally exciting. That's what all this sort of exuberance, not irrational, but rational exuberance that are driving stock market valuations for.
Exactly, because they want to know where's the next Bill Gates coming from? Where's the next Zuckerberg coming from?
And there'll be other ones, but they won't be. They won't be in yesterday's technology. They won't go away. I mean, IBM had a century run practically. It's not gone away. But
right.
Look at all the new companies that came up around IBM in the evolution of computing.
So it's as if we've got a bit of a skeletal infrastructure that is operating a bit on its own inertia, but it's a matter of time, just as you said. It took 30 years for the automobile industry to get that connectivity and to get that network together to where it became practical. And with 5G coming online, and as you say, data is the old saying, it's the new oil. But no doubt, that is the new instrument of this 21st century economy.
Well, it is. We could measure it in dollar terms. There's more money being spent globally buying and building out hardware for the global cloud, for information systems, than there is being spent to drill for oil and gas and hardware. So we still need oil and gas. That's not going away.
Mm-hmm.
But the magnitude of spending is greater in the information infrastructure domains and growing faster. Another factoid for you that most people don't know is, of course, just as cars and airplanes, machines of the 20th century helped our economy and created everything from, you know, the suburbs to drive-in, you know, restaurants, the digital economy also does the same thing. But just like cars, though, did it by consuming energy, so does the digital economy. Most people don't know that the global cloud already uses more energy than all the world's SUVs do combined.
Oh, yeah. Well, speaking of the cloud, because many people are still thinking, what is the cloud?
I know.
You know, right? I mean, it's like, I know it sounds rather academic because we're so far down the road in this, but, you know, let's rewind for just a moment and let's, you know, answer some questions. And can you give us, I mean, here you are. I mean, you're a Manhattan Institute senior fellow. You're teaching kids this. Teach our audience the cloud and why it's so powerful and why it is.
Well, it's kind of a vague, it's a catch-all phrase now that tech guys are using, but what they're really talking about is the infrastructure that allows you to use your smartphone to call an Uber or, you know, rent an apartment or buy something from in e-commerce. When you click that button, we all know we're wirelessly connected on an information highway to data centers, big buildings, warehouse-scale buildings full of computers that process and massage and information, connect to sellers, and then connect to shippers. So that whole ecosystem, we'll call it the cloud, is just like, people have analogized this rise of the electric age. You have wires that are invisible or buried. We have power plants, but instead of power plants you don't see, now we have data centers, which are kind of like digital power plants that are remote. So the fact that they're remote, sort of out of, you know, out away from us, is why I think engineers started calling it the cloud, because we're moving the data. The artificial intelligence that does a roadmap for you, that predicts traffic, all that analysis, that information processing is happening remotely in the quote, cloud.
In the cloud. And you refer to them as digital cathedrals. I mean, where are they located?
Well, they're all over the world, but most of them are in the United States, which is kind of interesting. They're called digital cathedrals because they're magnificent.
I have never experienced one. When we come back, I want you to give us a little tour here, you know, through our imaginations of what one of these cathedrals look like. We're talking with Mark Mills, Manhattan Institute senior fellow. His new book, Digital Cathedrals. Hey, we're learning about the cloud, and we better learn fast because, as we know, the highway of information is moving at light speed, and we need to get on or we're going to miss the train. More from Mark after this.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
You've heard it said, you don't know what you've been missing. Well, when it comes to nutritional components in your diet, maybe you need to know what you've been missing, especially if you want to feel good, not miss work, and get the most of each day. Then you need the immune and growth factors in bovine colostrum. As a newborn, colostrum passes on immunity from our mothers, helps our body recognize when we're under attack, and fights all those nasty microbes that we're exposed to from birth. But the most important job colostrum does for newborns is seal our GI tract. Unfortunately, it doesn't stay sealed. Leaky gut affects 8 out of 10 people passing undigested
undigested foods, germs, and toxins into our bloodstreams. It happened to me and caused unbelievable trauma to my immune system and gut. Fortunately, Sovereign Laboratories Colostrum LD can help. Taken daily as part of a healthy lifestyle, Colostrum LD can help you feel good every day. I feel great on this product. To learn more, go to PreventLeakyGut.com. That's PreventLeakyGut.com.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this. To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Bill Martinez.
Hey, good to have you back with us, sharing a part of your day, America. Bill Martinez here, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. For more information on the show and how you can connect with any one of the 320 outlets around this country. Also, we got some great news this past week. iHeart is going to be picking us up and going to be podcasting various aspects of the program. We're excited about that expansion and breakthrough as well. We welcome you aboard as we continue to pursue the truth, no matter where it leads. We are being enlarged here in our thinking and understanding of the digital cathedrals and the cloud. With us is Mark Mills. He's the Manhattan Institute Senior Fellow who's been breaking it down for us, and he gave us a little bit of a primer to understand what the cloud is. But I asked that he would walk us through a bit of an imaginary discovery of an actual digital cathedral. What do they look like, Mark?
Well, they look like warehouses. They're unexciting looking. The magnificent buildings of the Middle Ages, the cathedrals, you know, soared above the town centers, built by masons of that era. Then we had the skyscrapers of the 20th century, which, you know, soared up to the, sorry, they're called skyscrapers. Mm. And you know, imagine if we called skyscrapers office centers. I mean, that's not a very exciting word.
No.
So we're calling buildings that have more square footage under roof than skyscrapers.
Wow.
Data centers. They're horizontal, like warehouses. They're full of computers housed in racks that look kind of like a commercial refrigerator. You know, hundreds and hundreds of racks of these computers that sit and crunch data, store videos, route the videos, do artificial intelligence tasks to interpret either roadmaps or digital X-rays. I mean, this is where all the horsepower resides.
Yeah.
But fascinating thing about them is you don't see them. They're out of sight by and large. When you drive by them on the highway, you might see one. You might think it's like a distribution warehouse, except you won't see any trucks parked outside distributing anything. It's the information is distributed on fiber cables buried below ground. Each of those data centers, and there are far more data centers in the world than there are skyscrapers.
Wow.
There are thousands of data centers in the world. Each of them consumes about 100 times more power than a single skyscraper. I mean, these are power-hungry beasts that are propelling our economy. They're sort of hidden out of sight, but they really are the cathedrals of the 21st century in terms of, mm-hmm. of driving the economy. Because every business from, you know, recently BP, for example, announced in Europe, they're moving all their data to the cloud. Mm-hmm. The government in Washington, D.C. has moved its data into the cloud. Commercial businesses, retailers move their business to the cloud. What that means is they're not just storing information about you and me there. That's where the processing, where the information is generated, where the ideas are created. That's where research is done. That's where we're discovering new drugs, because what you do is you want to take data that you've created about research into a therapeutic. Then you want to simulate, let's say, whether a drug will work. That kind of simulation is now possible in the kinds of supercomputing that reside in these, quote, cloud data centers. It's a structural change that's sort of, it's fascinating. It's so big and so much bigger than anything that's happened in the last century, but it's so out of sight that the only place we see evidence of how big this is in the stock market. So, recently Google blew past a $1 trillion market value.
Yes, exactly.
Google's past $1 trillion. Microsoft, nearly $1 trillion. What that's reflecting is not some kind of crazy exuberance about stocks and a bubble. It's actually reflecting the physical infrastructure of things that are going on in our economy that aren't just sharing cat videos on YouTube.
Right, exactly.
It's much more than that. That's why I said it's...
Well, their capacity to handle $1 trillion worth of... I mean, think about that, Mark. I mean, before they were limited, where they just said, hey, well, the best we could do is maybe $500 billion or something, because that's our capacity. But now with this new technology and everything going on, I mean, everybody is growing. It's exponential. I mean, it's almost like, in a sense, when the dot-com business came into play, we experienced... And it was a little bit of an illusion, I understand, and maybe that's a bad example, but yet there was some promise there. It just couldn't be fully delivered.
Well, the promise there was that, and we're always in danger of this in stock markets. People get out over their skis on their how fast they think growth will occur, and overvalue companies. That's when you get the crash. But what happened in that crash is the technology didn't go away; it just got cheaper, and people on the other side of it with money bought up the assets and brought us the current revolution. I'm not giving stock advice saying whether these stocks are cheap or expensive. I am saying they're reflecting something very real in structural change in our economy. And some of what I've written about is not just how exciting this is, because it democratizes computing power. It democratizes artificial intelligence for small businesses. And we're using artificial intelligence every day. Anybody that uses the Siri voice or Alexa, that's an AI engine. Mm-hmm. Anytime you ask for recommendations about something online using the magic Google machine, that AI engine, artificial intelligence, is doing something different than computing. Computers aren't used to calculate or compute anymore. Computers are used to do strange things like give advice. Yeah. I mean, this is not a computing function. It's this is different. What we do with the cloud computing today is different from what we did with computers like PCs 30 years ago. As computers then were different from rotary dial telephones. I mean, this is a huge leap. It's an exciting one, and we've only begun to really tap the capabilities. And that it's hard to predict what will happen, except lots of entrepreneurs, lots of creative older people, and millennials and Gen Zs are going to create new businesses. There'll be new Bezoses, and there'll be new Zuckerbergs.
Because people need to understand is that we're still king. I mean, we're human beings here. These are machines, and machines, even though with all the AI technology and the other things that we anticipate, we're an industrious brute. And we're going to, we're going to be on top of these machines, unlike some of these movies that would like us to think that they're going to take over, right?
Well, maybe. One of the favorite themes in science fiction has always been the rise of the machines. I mean, this dates back to the dawn of the idea of science fiction. Mm-hmm. Certainly, usually human beings can make mistakes in how they design and operate machines and cause harm. But it's back to your point. It's back to the human control. Look, the idea that artificial intelligence is going to do better than people is kind of not a new idea. It started in the 50s when computers first came around, and we've been talking about that in fiction since then. It's sort of a misnomer. Let's just be clear. They're powerful computers, but it's kind of like calling an airplane an artificial bird or a car an artificial horse.
Right.
They do a similar function. They're not the same thing. Come on.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, and I always loved it. Whenever, you know, technology came in, it was always going to replace people.
Okay.
Mark, I never saw that happen. I mean, it just it allowed people to work at a different level. But I think that was the false flag to all these businesses. You got to buy this stuff. You got to automate because it's going to replace people. It just created new opportunities.
It does. It's called productivity. So productivity means, you know, more output per unit of input, whether it's labor or material. And it does. You know, obviously there are some displacements. There aren't typing pools anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Word processing has replaced the role of a typist in businesses. But we have full employment. I mean, it's not like unemployment was created because word processing replaced typing pools.
Right.
And even the banking industry now has more people employed than they did before the ATM. These are common stories people know about, but they're worried now that computers are going to do something different this time, different than we did before. They will be different, right? It will cause some displacement, and there will be some people who lose jobs that have to find new jobs and get or retrain. This has been going on for, I don't know, 300 years?
Exactly.
Not a new phenomenon.
No, exactly. Because at the core of this, as you said, it is of human interest, and I say command, to be productive. And this is where the labor force, I would encourage them to be flexible and to look at the horizon and consider the possibilities. I mean, look what's going on right now. I mean, we've got 7 million jobs right now looking for people. And it is opening up a whole new opportunity for these young people to say, hey, I don't need to go to college. I'm going to go to some trade school because I can make $140,000 by learning a trade. And, you know, I don't even have to go through a very sophisticated apprenticeship program. That's pretty enticing.
It is. And, in fact, the bottom line is that what computing is doing is making those jobs more valuable. The wages are going up. It's also making those jobs safer and easier to perform, because a lot of the sort of virtual reality and artificial intelligence tools that are coming into the industrial markets are essentially amplifying the trade skills people have there and making their
exactly. Mm-hmm. Mark, what about privacy? You know, with these big warehouses of computers and everything, and you know, we've been sensitive about the infrastructure and especially some external forces, existential threats, and how they could impact our infrastructure. How vulnerable are we with these?
Well, we're always always vulnerable to bad people doing bad things, and privacy has always been important to all of us. Although culturally, there are different attitudes towards privacy. Some people, as you know, we all read about this, say, "Look, if you want to track me, I got nothing to hide."
Right. Yeah. Where's Apple? Go ahead and open up the phone. Let's get the information. Right.
Well, I think the key here, and we've already finally figured this out, is better technology will make it easier for us to have more privacy, but also more transparency, where those who have access to private information need to inform consumers, here's what I can or will do with it, and let people volunteer. I would predict most people would volunteer to let a lot of their information be used, but they just want to be told or asked.
Exactly. Mark, how can they get their hands on your book, Digital Cathedrals?
The magic Amazon machine.
There it is, exactly. Right there, part of the cloud. Exactly. And it'll be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Mark Mills, who has been so generous with his time, we appreciate this. Manhattan Institute Senior Scholar right here on Bill Martinez Live. Mark, have a great weekend. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. You too.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and
when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Most of you.